Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode 59, and Seth is making some fucking faces right now. Which is great in this audio medium of podcasting.
It was mostly just to try to make you crack up, but it didn't work.
I'd also like to point out that we're the first people to ever make a joke about how visual jokes don't work on a podcast.
Ever.
So congratulations to us, boyo.
Yeah,
accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, so episode 59, I'm joined, of course, as always, by our dear friend Seth. What's up, Seth?
Hello.
And my dear friend Zach. What's up, Zach?
Not much. How's it going?
Pretty good. And we are joined by a guest today, our Twitter queen herself. What's up, Marielle?
Hey guys, thanks for having me back after I destroyed you all.
werewolves of Nick Cage and Cher. I'm sorry, I could do that better. Let me try it again. Zach, can we roll that one back?
Yeah,
anyway,
Cage and Cher now.
Looking for a place called Lee Ho Fox. So this is a very special episode. Do you want to explain why, Marielle?
Yeah, so this is not only an episode featuring one of my personal favorite movies of all time, but it's the first
I've got
time
bad news
actually...
for you, because Seth hated it.
Seth hates everything.
No, but like, okay, well, we'll get to it later.
We'll get to it.
But yes, I'm sorry.
One of my personal faves. Mm. I own it in physical media, which is unheard of.
Incredibly rare these days, yeah.
Yes. And it's our first ever, we determined, episode wherein the guest is not the faker, since this is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
I've actually found a movie that Lee has not seen.
Yeah.
Very proud of myself for this, as a person who has not seen any movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the more I'll mention this up front before I jump into my actual movie. The more I learned about this movie, it's kind of surprising to me that, at least in my recent movie watching habits, that I've not watched this movie.
Yeah,
so,
it's on Filmstruck somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's got it for sure.
Well, anyway, but we'll get into that very, very soon. But in the meantime, of course, check out our Twitter. We are blowing up on there, especially lately. And we may potentially have a Twitter beef forming, which stay tuned because that'll be fun.
I'm working on that.
I don't like that.
We'll see.
Really trying to cultivate that beef.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm like
gonna
it.
Have a
people,
nice slow cooked beef.
When people are gonna be sexist and racist, sometimes you gotta start beef with them.
Yeah, we try really hard to not be shitty people.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Also check out our Instagram, of course. Check out all of the Faking Movie family of websites. We've got some good stuff, and I know we promise this all the time, but for real, I'm actually working with friend of the show Lucas to make the website usable. This is really happening right now, guys. So
I don't fucking believe
tuned.
You.
Well, it's true. Anyway,
all right.
At the very least, you can listen to all the episodes on there for free.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
absolutely.
So it does one thing.
The important parts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, as always, buy Hunt's ketchup, the best ketchup there is.
Ah, yes.
Yep.
In the world.
You are technically correct.
what kind of correct is technically correct?
Well,
so,
that's the best kind of correct.
The only
of course.
Kind.
Yes, yeah. Just more Futurama swagger jacket. Okay, so...
Yep.
So, guys, I'm doing the pajama game this week.
Yep.
Yep.
A movie I've never seen.
Yep.
A movie that I'm pretty sure I've barely seen, to be fair.
You were on that were on a bender when you watched this movie, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I think... this might be a movie that's like only exists in Marielle's universe, mm-hmm. because I talk about it all the time and no one else has seen
yep.
it. Yeah. It's not just you three. It's like literally anyone
else. I bet this movie was on AMC a lot back in the days before they only played Young Guns 2.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, man. I don't know. I got it from the library.
Oh,
VHS.
Old school.
Wow.
Love it.
I was a kid.
Yeah. To learn more about the pajama game, visit your local library and also listen to this episode that we're recording right now.
Yep.
Shout out to all the local libraries. I'm a huge fan, actually.
They're struggling, man. They're struggling. They need help. Yeah.
Can we talk about how librarians are the greatest people on Earth? Because they are.
Yeah, for sure. The heroes of America.
I can't disagree with that. Yep. I live in a town with not shitty libraries, and it's delightful.
Oh, yeah. I think Lee mentioned that in college, he used to buy books from all the libraries that were closing in the town that he went to college in, which is like the most upsetting thing in the world.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I went to a lot of library book sales in college. I lived in a really big city, too, so it's not like they couldn't find funding somewhere.
Had to stop all the murders, I guess.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Oof. Anyway.
Anyway.
Well... Shall I get into it, guys?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You guys gave me the pajama game, and you also gave me, as a cast, Doris Day, Barbara Nichols, Retta Shaw, and Eddie Foy Jr., I believe.
That's his name.
Okay. So, let me start off by telling you what happened to me this weekend. You see, our good friend Zach... was visiting our Twitter queen, Marielle, and they got themselves drunk to watch this movie, and I got a text with a screenshot.
Yeah.
Oh, so, one of the things I learned about this movie is that it was choreographed by Bob Fosse. So
that's the one screen that it ended up on? That's amazing.
Yep, right. That's the one. Yeah.
So I know that there's dancing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Also,
it's a Marielle movie. We know that it's...
And given that cast, given that cast, you can probably peg a general time that this movie came out. And, like, didn't they all have dancing then? Like, really? I mean,
not always.
I mean, we're using dancing here very loosely.
That's good to know.
But that's all right.
I'm offended.
Well, also, another thing that I independently learned, and this is just because I'm a weirdo, I was recently watching the Gene Kelly, Stanley Donen co-directed movie, It's Always Fair Weather, and I looked up Stanley Donen to look at what he made after that movie, and this is one of them, so I know it's a Stanley Donen movie as well.
Yeah, well, Lee, you are a hard person to do anything with. Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I have no idea.
Even the movie you haven't seen, you somehow like know facts that those names mean nothing to me. I don't know.
Pretty important facts.
And so also, it's a Doris Day movie.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's a Doris Day movie from the 60s. And that means, to me, knowing what I know about Doris Day movies, it's the most chaste sex comedy you could ever imagine.
All right.
It's a movie about single people in the city wanting to have sex with each other, but you never see anyone's skin below their neck. That's what a Doris Day movie is to me.
Sounds like a real Kiss Me Kate right there.
I'm thinking of Pillow Talk. But
definitely Pillow Talk. Oh. Yeah,
I'm not a huge Doris Day fan. I'll get that out right now.
They put sex right in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this one is, it has pajamas in the title, so clearly there are sleepwear involved.
Oh, sure.
Oh, don't worry.
Like
I mentioned
pillows.
That in my movie.
Oh, God, I hope you break it up into multiple words, because that's all I'm waiting for.
No, actually, I did something a little different.
Oh, great.
You see, last night, I'll give everybody a little behind-the-scenes action. I mentioned to the group of friends that I'm sitting here speaking with that... Mm-hmm. Knowing what I know about Stanley Donen and Bob Fosse and Doris Day, I was worried that I would make a movie that was too similar to the actual movie to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought it would just be a pale impression of what the actual movie is. Yeah. And then Seth and Zach, specifically Seth, started giving me shit about that time I didn't make Star Wars, but they say I did. So I thought,
that's a good one.
Fuck it.
Yes!
Oh,
and now, I'm so happy for this.
I present
did not
to
see
you,
this coming. All right.
I present to you the pajama game
a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Because as you know, Disney has recently put all of their spin-offs on hold. Well, it turns out one slipped through the fucking cracks.
Ooh, yeah, oh man, right, so I hope Maha Nadon ends up being played by Eddie Foy Jr.
Hey, guess what?
Huh?
Because that's your favorite character, it's specifically not in it.
Oh, burn.
Because I'm going to pander to you, Seth.
Okay, good.
But only so much.
Okay, yeah, sure. You don't need to use my favorite character from Star Wars that is only in exactly one scene.
Well, like one frame of one scene.
No, they come back to him multiple times. It's cool.
So I got news for you boys. Marielle is such a fan of Star Wars. She has a Star Wars tattoo. So
oh, cool.
You're in luck.
Yes, so.
Yeah.
I try not to have play favorites.
This will be a pandering episode. This is good.
Mm, fancy that. Fancy a pandering episode on this fucking podcast.
I said, Seth, feel free to pander.
Seth sounds like he's in the mood for Seth pandering right now.
Yeah, it's a pander express.
Are we British?
TM.
That's the British name of that restaurant. Oh,
yeah. It's the pajama game, A Star Wars Story. It also is still a Doris Day movie from the 60s in my head. So
like
there is
a time travel sequel? Like we're going back?
Yeah, let's call it that. All right. you'll find out what time frame of what galactic time frame we fall in a little further on.
Excellent.
Yeah, BBY?
I didn't get that specific just because I don't want to spoil it, but yes, it is BBY.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be.
Right, almost certainly. Mm-hmm. Since it is a Doris Day movie, there is a bespoke Doris Day song that goes along with the movie.
Natch.
And since it's a Star Wars story, it's in the form of a jizz standard.
Excellent.
In
the key of jizz. The classic Star Wars musical style jizz.
Wait, is
thanks,
that,
George.
Does anybody
it's
else
been,
know?
You, George.
Does anyone know what we're talking about?
It's been a long time since we brought up jizz.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I mean, not
time.
That long, to be fair.
I know,
no,
but
it's
for
not
us,
that long.
It's been a while. Yeah.
But, okay, is this a thing that other people know about, or are we making jokes for ourselves right now? Marielle's shaking her head no.
I think people who know about Doris Day movies know that she used to do soundtrack songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I think weird Star Wars nerds know that the type of music that the Cantina Band specifically plays is called jizz. That's the genre.
Uh-huh.
But you have to be a very, very deep Star Wars like EU person to know that,
yeah. Or a very shallow faking movies fan to
there we
are. Talk about it a lot.
Well, fair enough. All right.
I, as the only listener, I it is helpful to explain.
Sure. Okay.
Would you guys like to hear my Doris Day jizz song?
Boy,
wait, is
I?
It integral
absolutely.
To the plot or like? Because I don't want you to bring it out.
Is this
out
the opening?
Of...
It is integral to the plot in that it thematically makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Jizz hands to go along with the song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it's gonna get real messy if we do that.
Ooh,
so.
Well, yeah.
All that jizz
yikes.
Everywhere.
I mean, but Disney owns Marvel jizz. Now, so you can do Spider-Man's while you sing it. So
Seth, all that jizz is from Chicago, I believe. That's a different.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yep.
It's a perfect Richard Gere joke.
Oh, Christ.
Yeesh.
Oh, man.
All right. Jokes for no one.
So, this is to the tune of the Cantina Band song.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
Okay. I will only sing when there's perfect silence.
All right, Mars Volta, relax.
I'm going to turn my back to the audience and sit on a folding chair like fucking Peter Gabriel era Genesis.
Oh, yeah, so, sure enough.
The only Genesis worth listening to.
I love Peter Gabriel era Genesis and current Peter Gabriel as well.
So good.
Much
okay.
appreciated.
Here's the theme song to the pajama game. All gals like to get ahead. That's the way for me. Commander, Admiral, maybe Moff, someday you will see. Some gals take the easy way, they'll roll in the space sheets. They play the pajama game, that's not the way for me. Feel the force, it'll heal you, feel the force, and reveal you as the best that you can be. The Empire and the Force in one, that's me.
I just...
That's amazing.
That's incredible. Like, the effort.
Call out.
Ugh.
Call Alan Menken.
Second verse. No, I don't have a second verse.
Same as the first. Oh, you're better than I saw you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least I got my Hermes Hermits in there, which is all oh, yeah, I really absolutely. Care about. Mm-hmm.
We're going to ferry across the Mersey real fast mm-hmm. here.
I mean, that's a truly incredible composition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it will be on Radio Disney at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, now we need fans.
We're going to need to monetize.
Yeah. Well, we need fans to do, like, covers and full versions of it. So, like, somebody out there can play a thing, probably, right?
Maybe. I mean, anyone who has has instruments can do it. Like, I can't do that, but, you know. I can sing off key. Oh, Seth is holding up an ocarina right now. Yeah.
All right. Seth, you do the ocarina. I'll do all the other parts. We'll put it together.
So, just, you know, we do record a few weeks ahead. Seth, if you could learn the Cantina Band song on the ocarina between now and then, we can record it for the opening intro of this episode.
Oh, I absolutely cannot.
Okay, cool.
No, so, I mean, this is, yeah, no, not right now. Maybe in a month I could.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on.
Oh, right. Anyway, so that's my whole movie. We're done.
A plus.
Yeah, 10, 10, 10. Fuck. Yeah. Especially comparatively.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the opening number to the movie is set to this song. It's a dance number with Stormtrooper and Imperial officers. Doris Day is in the center. She's singing. She's not really dancing that much. She's certainly not dancing as athletically as the male dancers. They all seem to want her. Mm-hmm. But she's Doris Day in a Doris Day sex comedy, so, you know, she's unimaginably chaste the whole time. She's in her Imperial Officer Grays.
Yep.
All right.
So she's a gal working her way up through the Empire. She's a career officer in a man's military. We're talking post-Revenge of the Sith, pre-A New Hope. I mentioned the Force.
That man's military, he's only, like, two-thirds of a man. He's missing all of his limbs from fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the female empowerment, though.
Yeah. Wasn't this what was the first spinoff that happened during the same time? But I guess it's kind of a long time period. The between
Rogue
three
One.
Before.
Yeah, it's about Rogue One. Yeah.
Rogue One.
Ewok Love Day or whatever.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, the
it's
the
Wookiee
Life
Day.
That's between Empire and A New Hope, though.
I know. It took place during Shadows of the Empire. God.
Anyway, Dash.
all this expanded universe bullshit. God damn.
So it's... Are you going to let me go?
I was going to say, I'm going to have to put a bumper on this one in the beginning that says, if you don't really, really like Star Wars, turn this shit off right away.
Oh, well, just you wait. Because as fucking punishment, I go deep into expanded universe.
Yes!
Shit.
Man, you're just really burning it all down today. I love this.
Uh-huh.
This is good.
Fuck y'all.
No.
If you want to accuse me of making Star Wars, I'm going to really make Star Wars.
No, I agree. Sure. I agree. Fully do this. Because
I predict that I will like this more than the... allegedly not Star Wars thing that you made before.
Yo, that one was good.
It was fun. It just was Star Wars, and you were very indignant that it was not Star Wars.
All right. Anyway. Doris Day's an officer in the Empire. Yeah. In her song, as you will have noticed, I mentioned the Force. I did this because Doris Day in real life is into Christian Science.
Oh,
and
interesting.
One of the she apparently has moved away from the church in a practical sense, but still believes in it as a philosophy.
Sure.
Doris Day facts. So one of the tenets of Christian Science, they often talk about prayer literally being able to heal people.
Yep.
Like completely sans medicine. So I think that maps onto the Force very well.
Sure do.
That's kind of where I was coming from with using the Force in her character. Also, because it's a wacky sex comedy romp, her being a believer in the Force, it's a total no-no for Imperials, and it's totally going to come up later. And this leads me to her rival, Barbara Nichols. So, Barbara is Doris's professional and romantic rival, and let me tell you, this lady fucks. one might say that she's not afraid to play the pajama game to get ahead.
Okay.
So, yep.
One fact about Barbara Nichols in real life, before she was an actress, she was a very well-known pinup model.
Oh.
Yep.
And she was a minor, like, rival of Marilyn.
Yeah, oh, minor. Interesting. Minor rival.
Like, very minor. Like, she was in that vein of, like, the blonde bombshell, but she was, like, her face was recognizable as a pinup, and then she became, like, an actress, well, in quotes. But
sure. Like a supporting role kind of person.
But with a voice very similar to Harley Quinn from Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if since
you should
Stanley...
look up who the voice was, though.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I used to know it. I can look it up.
I wonder if since Stanley Donen directed this movie and Singing in the Rain, that's a Singing in the Rain callback.
Hmm.
All right.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to share because I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah.
No, that's good to know. Makes I'm sense. Glad I cast her as the sex pot.
She's a hottie bo body, so.
Mm-hmm. So, they're both vying to get assigned to lead this new elite task force that's going to hunt down the nascent rebellion. And Grand Moff Tarkin, played by Eddie Foy, is going to be the one making the decision of who gets the job. Now, we can either let him play the role or let him play the role and then put Peter Cushing's face on him. I don't know. I'll let the folks at Disney decide.
Yeah.
Why not all of them? Yeah,
back and
we could do both. Yeah. I mean, and just phase in and out. Yep. Really fuck with you. So once we get the story established, we see Doris getting the upper hand. And here, Seth, this was my main Seth pander.
Yay!
She brings in all these crazy new ideas to the Empire, like using bounty hunters to get the job done. So we're gonna see Bosk.
Yeah,
we're gonna see Dengar.
Hell yeah!
We're gonna see IG fucking 88. Oh yeah, they are all coming to the party, and they're all gonna have their blasters set on stun because that's what the audience is gonna.
Wait, so what about Forlaw Man Zuckus?
No, again, fuck you. So like,
no, they are pandering, there are limits.
Just because I'm pandering to you doesn't mean I'm gonna give you the fucking satisfaction.
I mean. Yeah, they are pretty much the worst of the bounty hunters that were there on the executor like that.
They're the B team for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
This movie exists to spite me because I love it and everyone else hates it, and to spite Seth because he doesn't want to give him any satisfaction.
Yeah,
I mean, let's throw some spite in there for Zach. I don't want to leave him out of the party.
Yeah, it'll come up. I'm
the
sure.
The dads are wonderful in this movie.
That's very not on it. Star Wars brand, though.
Me
and Star Wars are buds as far as dad goes. Yeah. All bad.
It's a twist.
All right. So since we have all these great bounty hunters here, and since this is a Stanley Donen, Bob Fosse film, we're going to have a crazy dance number with the bounty hunters where we get a lot of environmental props worked into the dance. So, like, it's definitely going to go too long.
Yep.
And it's definitely going to be more interesting than it is entertaining, but we're going to get that dance number.
Oh, like, Lee.
I'm going to make that a gift.
Did you write this actual musical? Because that's exactly what happens.
But I know what both of these guys do when they have dance numbers. It's all men.
Yep.
There's a lot of props, and it all lasts way too long.
Yep.
Okay.
I disagree. A dance number can never last too long.
I don't know, Marielle. Have you seen the Gene Kelly directed Hello Dolly? Because that dance number in the restaurant goes on for at least 87 minutes.
And have you seen any version of Brigadoon?
But I love Hello Dolly.
More like Brigadoon.
It is set very near to where I grew up.
Let's do a sword dance for a while.
Hello Dolly is also very close to my heart. Not as close as Pajama Game.
I'm better about Hello Dolly. I like Hello Dolly.
I do really like the film version of that. We all know how much I enjoy Walter Matthau in that movie.
Sure enough.
That's
Jolly Levi! It takes a woman!
It's a legit classic, and it's wonderful.
I mean, it got nominated for Best Picture that year, and even back then, everybody was confused as to why. But
yeah.
Sure.
Whatever.
Okay, so we get this dance number. It's great. So this is when Tarkin starts to notice Doris Day, and they have a moment. So he tells her that he'll keep an eye on her progress, and, you know, Barbara's pissed because she was trying to just sex it up to get Tarkin's attention.
Sure.
So she brings in a bounty hunter of her own. We can even do Boba Fett if you want.
No.
And this bounty hunter is going to go dig up some dirt on Doris.
It should be Dash Rendar.
I was going to say, is Django dead yet? Probably, right?
Yeah, Django dies during fucking Clone Wars. Clones. Oh. Yeah.
Fuck.
Right. Mace Windu beheads him, you asshole. What's wrong
with
you?
Idiot moron.
Shit. Did you not watch any of those Clone Wars animated things I sent you yesterday?
I was going to say, literally yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I like this adversarial version. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Lee does Star Wars, and we all turn into complete assholes.
Yeah. So this bounty hunter connection is how Barbara finds out that Doris believes in the Force and all that. And so there's going to be a lot of like close shaves where she like tries to blow up her spot, but like something happens that Doris like, oh, and then,
yeah, that seems to
follies. Mm-hmm. There's just like 60s comedy goofy follies going on here. So anyway, we're also going to eventually get a scene where we're at the women's barracks. Cause you know, officer barracks are gender separated in the Empire.
Sure.
And this is when we get Retta Shaw in the movie, and she's going to be like the house mom of the women's barracks, and she's going to strictly enforce the like no men allowed rule. Even, and this rule applies, she'll let us know, even for a Grand Moff.
I love when that shows up. That's going
to
be.
Uh huh. Because Tarkin wants to see Doris. He's smitten and he's impressed at her abilities as an Imperial officer.
Sure.
So at some point he'll end up like getting snuck in, and it's just an excuse for us to have a scene where Tarkin and Doris flirt with each other, and we can tell that they're starting to have a thing, but you know, there's no sex because actual sex would be too sexy for a Doris Day movie.
That's true.
Certainly. Or a Star Wars movie.
Or a Star Wars movie, unless it's
there's
incestuous.
There's no humping in Star Wars.
Yeah.
There's kissing.
There's sister kissing.
See people get married.
I believe, and then she's pregnant. Yeah. But as George Lucas, I believe, said once, like, there are no bras in space. So, like, that's why.
Oh, dear.
Carrie Fisher had to wear, like, nipple tape when she was filming a bunch of it.
Oh.
I mean, she's definitely not wearing a bra, but she had very nice boobs, so it didn't really matter. But yeah, otherwise she would have been nipping everywhere.
Yeah,
nipping
that's why she had tape.
Why am I not at all surprised that George Lucas's take on bras in Star Wars are no thanks?
Mm-hmm. It was the 70s.
Yeah.
Ugh, can we just pause here for a second and say, hey, I know it's been a while, but R.I.P. Carrie.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So sad.
That and hurts. I'm also going to pause and say The Last Jedi ruled, and like all those little boys on the internet can just get over their shit.
Yep.
We'll start a Twitter beef with them as well because.
All the boys?
I mean, we'll get a lot of page views for sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
Whatever it takes, but fuck those people.
Yeah, we're going to go straight Degrassi on those cats.
Oh, total shit. Garbage.
Ooh. I love them. I like that movie.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
That movie made me find Adam Driver attractive. Mm.
And that is likewise. Inexplicable.
Yeah.
If you want to so erase weird. That feeling from your heart, just watch Silence. He is.
Yeah, do that.
I actually was thinking about some of the earlier movies and stuff that he had done, and I only find him attractive as a very sad, conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sith. He's not attractive anywhere or else or as anything else.
What
it's
about
not him,
in that for
his character?
Yeah, what about in that forbidden Don Quixote movie?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not out yet, and maybe
don't
it never
know what
will.
That
and maybe, I mean, God's willing it never will be because
the universe
that'll
has
be
its
the end times, yeah.
Can we add Terry Gilliam to like the list of show enemies?
Yeah, definitely, because he's been doing a lot of more shitty stuff recently.
Really?
Like, he's like, oh, I hate inclusiveness. I'm coming out as a gay, trans, black woman or something. And
oh,
I was
wowzers.
Like, you,
oh, down with Terry Gilliam.
You piece of shit. Yeah. Like, you garbage human. Why would you ever...
Wow.
Ugh. Yeah, so he's definitely an enemy of the show.
All right.
Sure.
And artistically, he is maybe one of the most egregious style over substance directors of all time.
Yeah. True. Definitely that.
More than, like, Terrence Malick?
Terrence Malick, I feel like there's a lot of substance in the silence of Terrence Malick, but maybe not in the actual, like, things that happen.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. I don't actually watch those movies. I just read about them on Wikipedia, and I'm like,
no, that's bothering.
Once again, a visual medium versus a written medium.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look.
Hey, y'all remember where I left off in my movie?
Yeah, they were doing their non-sexy refresher. Sexy times.
Yeah,
we're exactly.
We're about
Thank
to
you.
Not get down, or maybe? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. There's like a scene where they're holding each other real close and they almost kiss. Sure. That's a Doris Day hallmark, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
Where they put their heads like next to each other, but the lips are not touching?
Yeah. So they're both facing the camera one. At the same time? Yeah. 100%.
Sure.
So... This all leads to a scene where Tarkin has to sneak out of the barracks dressed in a woman's uniform.
they're not. I thought they were the same.
No, they're a little different.
I mean, they're gonna
okay. And I'll actually point out why I know that. So have any of you read the actual? It's canon. The Star Wars expanded universe novel Tarkin.
They uncanoned all the EU when Disney bought it.
Well, no. I'm not talking about the old EU. That's Legends now. I'm talking about the official canon EU books that have come out since then.
That came out, I think, after Rogue One, right?
Around that time. Tarkin came out around that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in Tarkin, one of the things that we learn is that Grand Moff Tarkin took great pride in his appearance, and he would have custom uniforms made and specifically tailored to be a little more intimidating. So as buttoned up
shoulder
and...
pads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. As buttoned up and like organized as the Empire was, there actually was a lot of room for variation in their uniforms. So this is going to... Him wearing a woman's uniform is going to lead us to a scene where he runs into Vader in the hallway in that uniform. And they have an awkward exchange about his unconventional new uniform. And like Vader is totally going to love it. He's going to be so in.
Oh, I love everything about this.
This is fun.
And throwback to Tailor of Panama.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask which way he dresses.
Can there be a little sewing sequence?
So that's how we get like our fan service Vader cameo anyway.
Sure.
I mean, we could do a hog log right there for Peter Cushing.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Hog log.
Yeah, Peter Cushing.
Left or right?
Hog or no to hog or not to hog. Yeah. Do you want that log?
I mean, I'm picturing him like super old, so definitely a log. For sure, yes.
What's the log line on Peter Cushing?
I give that 2 hogs up.
Out of how many?
One, let's say.
That ignited my lightsaber. I don't know about you.
There we go.
And that was this week's hog log.
Yeah. We got it in.
Join us next time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So how are we going to wrap this movie up?
Indeed.
I'm thinking that some other officer, some other high-ranking officer is going to announce that Barbara has earned the post as the person hunting down the rebels. Due to her pajama gaming his brains out all night.
Oh, no.
But Tarkin,
I like that phrase a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But Tarkin, at the last minute, steps in and gives the position to Doris. And before Barbara can expose Doris's belief in the Force... he hopes.
Yeah.
Before Barbara can expose Doris's belief in the Force, Tarkin announces that Barbara is being transferred to the Outer Rim... with the old horn dog officer that she banged in the first place. And this is, of course, much to her chagrin because she was just using the guy. And, you know, we get a little like, oh, my pretty, like chase her around sex comedy thing. It's real Benny Hill.
Real Benny Hill.
It
becomes
some Benny Hill action
Hill
here. Yeah. Maybe Benny Hill could play this guy.
Oh, well, it's time appropriate.
So,
celeb cameo.
And then, so, you know, the end of the movie is she gets the position announced that she's going to get it. And, you know, Tarkin and Doris are going to live happily ever after. And then the camera pulls back and we notice that Luke, Han, Chewie, and Leia are getting on the Millennium Falcon to escape the Death Star. And that's right. They're all going to die in like an hour. So the end.
Yes.
Wowzers.
Wait, so can there be more EU about
I like how dark it
kids?
Was.
Can there be what? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I want there to be a spin-off of their kids.
Yeah, but they won't have the them because they die.
They're not going to have any kids. Well, I don't care what how like alien you are. You can't gestate a baby in an hour. Like
unless they reproduce by spores, maybe.
No, it'll be a spin-off. Sure. It's not going to be in a movie. It's going
to
No.
I'm setting this movie up so that they are on the Death Star right before the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
This is like
I want
so
everyone
minus,
to die.
This is like minus 20 minutes BBY.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
So you're how does that work in the universe?
Wait,
though? This is in the universe,
no
but
you're spoilers, but like
you're changing the universe? Yeah, like what
No, like no. We didn't see everything Tarkin did that day. We just saw some of the stuff that Tarkin did that day.
No, but like it ends the same way.
Well, as what?
They embrace and then blow up.
They hug and kiss or whatever, and it's like, oh, we're gonna do great things together, and she like goes off to like
do her
pack
job.
Her bags and,
yeah,
and, yeah, and then like he walks out to the bridge and he's like, don't explode that planet and then blow up the base. Let's go around the planet and let them shoot at us a bunch. Like
okay.
In typical Tarkin style.
Yeah.
Yeah. As he does.
So y'all know that Mon Mothma was on her way to Coruscant to surrender while that was going on, right?
Yeah, boy.
She's the bomb, though.
She's the bomb. She was just surrendering to save everyone else.
Okay.
She's such a badass. I just love her so much.
So this is in the current sort of times, I'm assuming. We're just being very anachronistic about the people and whatnot, but can we...
I don't even think we're being that anachronistic.
I added one character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, can I imagine a remake, let's say, 10 years before this came out, if we're just going to fuck with all the timelines, that stars Hugh Grant and Colin Firth, and maybe, I don't know.
Avocados?
I don't know who the ladies would be, but Renee Zellweger, let's say. Just throw all those Bridget
so
Jones
you
want to
do a
there.
Bridget Jones's Diary on the Death Star? I'm all for
when you're,
yeah,
when you're describing
that.
This whole thing, I'm just...
Space Star.
Oh, like the dancing and the Hugh Grant and the whatnot. Yeah. Oh.
You just add space in front of everything?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh, totally on board. Yeah. All right.
So that's my movie, guys.
Cool. Well, I
didn't hate it.
Yeah, no,
it was very good. I liked how dark it was at the end. So.
Yeah, a step above your last Star Wars movie, for sure.
This is a movie where I cry at the end, but then I watch the sequels, and I'm like, why am I crying? Those people were terrible. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like sad for them.
It's like, it's a key to a good artist where he can make you care about characters that you know are inherently evil. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, I guess what I'm saying is, you're welcome?
Nope.
No, you're welcome for making you do your version of the pajama game. If it wasn't for me starting this whole thing with my obsession with the pajama game, this movie would not exist. And by exist, I mean only in your head.
Yeah.
Lee, right. Do you want to hear the one sentence summary of this completely bullshit movie?
Sure.
Fuck off.
Well, it was made in 1957.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And
oh, that's earlier than I expected.
Yeah, it's pretty early for a Doris Day. And like, there's a bunch of like old children of vaudeville actors, like Haney Jr., for example.
Yeah, there's like a ton of people in this movie that I would know if I knew anything about old movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you were 80, yeah.
or Lee.
Anyway, the one sentence summary is. An Iowa pajama factory worker falls in love with an affable superintendent who has been hired by the factory's boss to help oppose the workers' demands for a pay raise.
So this is an anti-union movie? What the fuck?
It's a
pro-union
movie.
Oh, wow. What a world to live in where people still cared about unions.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this movie... So I obviously loved this movie as a child because it was just like a musical and it was silly and it was about clothes, whatever. As an adult, I still love it because I work in the apparel industry. So I like know... And it's about like labor rights and union organizing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, as an adult, I still love it because it's like... Yes.
The message behind it is reasonable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's very sweet.
Can we just get this on the record? Faking movies is pro-union.
Yeah,
and I think that everyone should unionize.
Yeah.
My God. It's one of the only ways we're going to save workers in this country.
This came up recently in Seth's life and didn't go the way he had hoped.
No, it did not. But that's fine because the people in charge of the union were total assholes.
So. Yeah, that'll happen. Ooh. Yeah.
That's tricky.
It was.
But I would like to give a very hearty shout out to Unite, which is the current version of the union appears in the movie. So, it's UNITE exclamation point, and that covers like service workers and apparel industry and stuff.
Cool.
And so they're in the movie. It's like very specifically. Well, we can talk about this later, but it's like a very specific like pajama and shirt worker union because at the time there was so much manufacturing in the United States that it was down to like what type of clothes you were making.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
For sure.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that has shifted abroad at this point, but
yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
Work in the industry. Well,
sure. Yeah.
All right.
But to most people's surprise, there is some still manufacturing and even like weaving and knitting in the United States. It's just very, very small and very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have a 2-part proposal. First, we skip the long description of the movie and just go to the thing, the discussions.
Uh-huh.
Second, I have here, as we mentioned earlier, I was at Marielle's house for this movie watch. I remember just maybe 3 seconds of it, so I'm going to probably skip a lot of the me talking about it. However, I guess not yet named friend of the show, Tiff, wrote a bunch of notes in this not sealed, not envelope. And I plan to open this that I've never seen before and read it as you guys are talking about it and pick out the good bits and just read her shit.
No. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm happy to hear about the more interesting parts because I have a general idea of how this plot plays out.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, Marielle, do you want to do like a real, real, real quick version of the plot? Sure.
All right.
I mean, basically, the one sentence kind of covered it. Mm-hmm. Doris Day plays Babe. She's the main character, and she's the head of the grievance committee, which is like a part of the union. There's a character whose name is Prez because he's the president of the union.
Yeah.
That's his only name. And then the main guy.
His name is Sorokin, which is great because Sorokin is a reasonably famous Russian author who is still active today. He wrote a very fascinating experimental novel called The Line, I guess is what you call it, but it's like a queue. It's about standing in a line. There's
standing in line?
Yeah, there's no description. It's a Soviet, it's a late Soviet book, and there's no description. It's only dialogue. The entire novel is nothing but dialogue.
Oh, so it's just the opposite of Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. Ha! Zing!
It's a Cooper zing for all my Fenimore heads up in here.
Okay, yeah. I have to break in here early. Top level
about
bullet.
About Sorokin?
No, totally unrelated. Top level bullet, masculinity. Sub bullets. Lee, you'll appreciate this. Adult overalls are cool. Agreed. Obviously.
Hey!
I don't know that that's related to the movie, but it's a fact for sure.
I mean, my number one, the first thing I wrote down underneath the title was conical bras and high-waisted pants.
Oh, there was a lot of conical bras in this for sure.
I have a lot actually to say about the costume design in this film. Yeah. I'll go back to the plot really quickly. So, and they basically fall in love, but it's, you know, it's management versus union and they can never be together. And then in the end, they get the raise that they wanted because the owner, who Zach described as a fat David Lynch.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Very much. Yeah.
What it looks like. Had built the extra 7.5 cents raise for all the employees into the cost of the goods already, but he had been hiding it from everyone because he was cooking the books. Yep. So, additionally, and I will admit this only here, this is actually based on a very bad novel.
Yeah, it
that
is.
That I have also read.
It's a terrible novel.
It's not very good, but I read it because it was
movie.
So, uh-huh. Delightful. So if you're interested in like the nitty gritty, there's a novel called 7.5 cents, but don't read it.
No.
Just watch the movie.
Oh, that comes up in Tiff's notes too. Yeah. She wrote it really big. I didn't know what it meant.
No.
Yeah. Cool.
But the clothes in this movie are fucking incredible.
Yeah, they ain't bad.
Like, The women's outfits, I mean, they're obviously very time period, but they're just, their dresses are incredible. Obviously, their boobs are, like, conical, but their waists are so tiny. The skirts are super full. They all have, like, contrast color petticoats, so when they sing and dance and skip around, it, like, makes really cool visuals.
Yeah, that I did appreciate that level of costume design.
Zach was a really big fan of the neck scarves on the women. I wrote, Zach gets a boner for neck scarves.
Yeah. Is that right?
It's so because he's afraid that if a woman doesn't have a neck scarf, her head's going to fall off.
Or if she's a vampire.
Hey, I mean,
punctures.
So if you're
looking to seduce Zach, a neck scarf is the way to do it.
No one is. Secret's out.
I mean, I know how I'm going to tie my tie at his wedding.
Yeah. I'm just going to wear a kerchief and nothing else.
Lee Seth, why are you wearing six ties? That seems weird.
You gotta tie around Little Seth. Little Seth is a plant that he has yet bought.
Yeah. That's
and he brings to the wedding in this joke. Also, he puts a tie around his penis.
Yeah, that one too.
Neither here nor there.
I should bring my beloved son Fitz Seth, my lime tree.
We will put it on the altar. I swear to God, if you do, I'll put it on the altar. No joke. Not kidding.
There is no way I can transport
the florist,
that tree.
I need it to is, work this in.
That tree is kind of heavy at this point. It sucks to move.
All right. Anyway,
worth it though.
Yeah.
It's funny because the men's clothes are not as good.
No, they're
because
they're
they
like,
wore their pants up to their nipples.
Yeah. And also
and
they're all super loose. But I mean, that's the style at the time.
And that was the style. Like it's of the time. It's not a period piece. It was made in the '50s, set in the '50s.
Yeah.
And now watching it, it's like very cool because it's like if you want to know what people dress like in the '50s, this is it. But they just, like, some of it is, like, so wild to me. Like, the women's dresses, like, they would go out on, like, a Thursday night in, like, these sexy strapless, like, dresses with pencil skirts. And it's just so cute.
Did you see Rita Moreno at the Oscars this past year?
She wore vintage.
Mm-hmm.
She wore the dress that she wore when she won her Oscar.
Oh.
And it was
dynamite. Yeah. It was spectacular.
And it was still like super sexy and in fashion today.
Mm. Yeah.
That your comment about those dresses just made me think of that.
Absolutely. Like, I think if you were a dude and you tried to dress like this, you would look like you're wearing a costume. But if you were a chick and you wore some of these outfits, people would be like, that's just a hot girl.
Yeah. I have a question quick.
I want to be a hot girl.
I think the dudes were sort of like middle-aged in this, but like the ladies, were they, what age would we say they were? I remember them being weirdly old, but I could have been wrong.
I think they're supposed to be young because I think the implication is that they're still unmarried.
Oh,
so yeah. The idea is that the girls that work on the factory floor are probably like 19, 20, 21.
Sure.
They're all single, still live at home, and this is their job because, you know, it's post-war, so women can work until they get married.
Uh-huh. But Dar's day is like 100, maybe?
She's 97, 96 right now.
I mean, in the 50s.
She's in like her early 30s, I think, when she made this movie.
Wow.
She looks 19, though.
Really? Like I went the other way. Yeah, I thought she looked like she was like 50. Weird.
She was born in 22, so.
Yeah, she's like old AF.
Depression era.
Alive, though.
Hey, good for her.
You're out there.
Good for her.
We love you.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Doris Day.
Okay.
She's so sweet.
I'm willing to accept like a friend, but not like a close friend. So
yeah, Doris Day, a woman who never got into a bed without one foot on the ground.
Did she have the spins or did she want to run? Nobody knows.
No, that's a joke about Hollywood Hays Code stuff, where you could do a scene with a couple in a bed if like they had a leg on the ground.
Yeah, okay. All of that, like
and
morality.
That was with, like, where you had the
bullshit.
Two twin beds.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had like the two twins instead of the queen bed.
Yeah, like Lucy Ricci. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Niles and Maris.
No... There's no like. There's no bed scenes. There's barely even like date scenes in here. I mean, we see them kiss
just
a straight couple times,
fucking on the floor, just like an 8 Mile baby.
Baby.
There's no like tongue. Like it's very cute and it's very chaste and innocent, and which is I think why my mom let me watch this when I was a little kid. Mm.
That and she was trying to radicalize you, and she succeeded.
My mom is awesome. Shout out to my mom.
What? True. Yeah.
Hi, mom.
Did she get to listen to this? Because,
no, my parents do not know about this.
I said fuck a lot. I said jizz.
Yeah, we take back all that jizz.
My parents do not approve of bad language.
Actually, it was like circa episode 20. We told all the moms to never, ever listen.
Yeah. I mean, my parents listened around then. And then the next episode, I was like, nah, never, never again.
Please don't.
My sweet mother's one comment about the show when she found out I was doing a show was, and is there all that bad language on there? And I went, yep, that's how we talk.
Said, I got, well, then it's I got, not you for guys me. Curse too much.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah. That would be my mom's number one complaint. My dad would probably just be like, I don't get it.
Well, that's
fair.
I think that's how it would come out.
My mom keeps
asking
me.
I think my dad would probably say something like, not enough long rambling stories that lead nowhere.
Like about onions, maybe?
Oh,
yeah, my
God.
Dad's a king of the Shaggy Dog story. Yeah. We're off track.
Yeah,
let's get back to the movie.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so obviously there's some issues around things like inter-office dating, because there's obviously all the characters work in the factory, so there's lots of inter-office dating. There's one character who has a whole song sung to him about learning to stop being so jealous of his girlfriend, because he has jealousy problems. Mm.
That was, God, what is his name?
In the movie, his name is Hines.
Yeah, it's Eddie Foy Jr.
Nope, we'll stand for that. No Hines.
The worst name
in
the
Hines on this podcast.
Only Hunt, so
I've got 57 reasons why his name shouldn't be Hines.
And Hines ain't one.
Yeah. There's a character.
He does throw knives at people, which is kind
of... He does throw
knives.
That's
pretty cool, yeah.
Yes, there's knife throwing.
He's like John Kerry.
He's basically drunk the whole time.
Yeah.
So there's like all that like drink.
Just like Teresa Hines Carey. No, I can't say that. That's slander.
That's slander.
Fictional.
They don't show him drinking, but he's clearly supposed to be like drunk all the time, even at work.
He like starts.
Is he Irish?
He starts like fighting Irish style fisticuffs with people all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In one scene, though, he counts, like he's throwing the knives and he counts in German, like Eins, zwei, drei.
Oh, yeah. Hines is a more
so
obviously
I assume it's, like,
German
more
name.
German.
Isn't it?
But he's just a drunk guy.
Yeah.
But he still works there and is like a manager.
He's
like, and then his girlfriend has the key to the ledger where the boss is cooking the books. And so Sorokin basically asked her out on a date so he can get the key to open the ledger to find out what's going on with the finances, which is also like kind of like, ugh. Like, I know it's a classic, like, movie trope, but I'm also like, ugh. That's, like, kind of sexual harassment. He gets her really drunk, like, she passed out at the table.
I mean, it was the 50s, to be fair. Like,
it was the 50s, like, but it's, like, kind of gross.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and okay. Carol Haney plays that character, and, like...
Yeah, from Broadway.
And Carol Haney is a really cool, interesting person. She worked with Gene Kelly for a while, and she did, like, a lot of choreography, and she won a Tony and stuff, but, like, just the stuff that she did in this movie was awful. It was like I don't understand any of the dancing.
Her character is really, really weird in this movie, which
It was bad.
So
it was
a child and
it was
still
a bad
so.
In the stage version of this, that character Gladys is actually pretty decent and like not like ditzy.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's supposed to be like a ditzy secretary.
It doesn't sound surprising to me. Like is there a stage version? Is there a movie version of a stage show where they don't dumb down at least a little bit of it for a bigger audience? Like, that's not surprising to me.
And it depends.
Spider-Man,
on which
turn off
version.
The dark.
There's never going to be a movie about that. They made a joke about it in the new Spider-Man multiverse movie, but that's about it.
Wait, which Spider-Man was that? Was that Andrew Garfield?
No,
it's the Broadway
the
Spider-Man.
Broadway
the
Broadway where people died. Yeah,
no, I know, yeah. I know what Turn Off the Dark is. You said they made a joke about it in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, they made a joke about it in the new animated Enter the Spider-Verse movie, and it has all the different Spider-Mans in it.
Cool. I thought you were referring to, like, one of the Marvel, like, live
cinematic,
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Isn't there a Spider-Man in the new Avengers?
There is.
Yeah, and the
but
Spider-Man
it's a different
movie
Spider-Man.
Was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked Homecoming. I thought it was a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah. Yep.
Can't keep track of all these Spideys. but it's also, going back to what you were saying, Seth, there are different Broadway versions. So the original cast version that came out before the movie is like the soundtrack that I listen to very frequently. Yes, always, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, like when I was a kid and I listened to the Broadway recording of Grease, and I was like, they talk a lot about having sex in this one, and they don't really do that in the movie.
And using saran wrap instead of condoms. Yes, I remember that from Grease. Yeah.
But wait, that doesn't work? Oh no,
Seth, all those certified letters that you keep getting about owing child support, are you just throwing them away?
I was just lighting them on fire. That's how I heat my house.
They keep knocking on my door and asking me, is your name Seth Fartnoise? And I say definitely not, and just shut the door.
Definitely.
Do you know how many DNA tests I've seen lawyers administer to Seth? Like,
yeah.
Every time I use a cup, I take it home with me in my pocket so they can't DNA me off of it.
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't... I thought you were just trying to track your ancestry.
Yeah, probably that.
It's like, maybe I won't get Jewish this time.
Oh, man.
Oh,
God, I'm sorry. That was a really offensive joke. I am not...
But self-hating Jews are a real phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, that's sure hilarious. That's
sometimes. Right, but I'm not Jewish, so I don't think I'm allowed to make a self-hating Jew joke.
The podcast is 50% Jew this week, so it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes after biting a dinosaur, a mosquito would land in the tree.
Oh, God. A Jewish Jurassic Park spinoff where we clone Seth?
I mean, I'd be
that.
I'd be super damn.
And bingo.
I just want lots of tall Seths walking around chewing on trees.
Really long.
Anthropomorphic.
Really long.
This Seth got sick from eating the juniper berries. It's weird.
And yet
Seth
he loves
gin for the listeners. Yeah.
There was a revival in the 2000s starring Harry Connick Jr. and they actually added a couple of tracks.
Whoa.
And those songs are garbage.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Wait,
so
who,
it's
they
really
are.
Totally
are there other notable
it depends
people?
Which verse it depends which Broadway version, but he is right. Gladys is like not nearly as like ditzy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I only have one regret in life, and it was that I did not see the Harry Connick Jr. revival on Broadway, because Pajama Game will never say never, but probably will not be revived again in my lifetime.
No.
That makes me
sad. If it's as pro union as it sounds like, I can't imagine that would happen anytime soon.
So, makes me super sad, but the good news is, like, I don't regret any of the other stupid shit I've done, so, could be worse.
That makes one of us.
Yeah, I only have one, so it could be a lot worse. But I'm actually, I mean, Seth, I knew you were going to hate this because it's like a dancing and singing movie, but didn't you just love all the silly protest signs?
No. What
yeah, like,
I, what...
stuff.
Okay, so the problem...
One said, so what? And with S-E-W.
Oh, I do enjoy that.
And another one said, so the name of the company is Sleep Tight, and one of the picket signs said, Sleep Tight Like Tiger. Swear to God.
Yeah.
1957, ooh. Sleep Tight Like Tiger. I thought you liked that part.
I mean, I was also, like, in a bad, bad mood when I watched this, but, like, the flaws that I have with this as a movie... I like the themes a lot, like, I mean, obviously, but the flaws that I have as an actual movie is what made me hate this so much.
Is it just bad pacing, or, because, I mean, that happens a lot when you translate a musical to screen.
I can read verbatim what I sent to Zach when I was watching this.
Yeah.
Which was, let's see, how do I even... How the fuck do you even take notes on this bullshit? It has no plot, the singing is terrible, the dancing, even when some of the dancers are incredibly famous and talented, is purposefully bad, particularly in the case of Carol Haney, despite the fact that she won a Tony for it. The story makes no sense, it has no real resolution, the villain has no consequences because it is a rich white dude. Why the fuck are
so it's true to life.
The lead characters in love at all? Most of all, the way that the factory works is a terrible goddamn business model.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the whole thing, is that the factory owner is like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, that is, so well is not clear. That's the reason why it's such bullshit.
Okay, that's fair. They use a bunch.
They're like sewing a bunch of different kinds of pajamas simultaneously instead of like using one run or something or using one fabric and doing a bunch of.
No, it's piecework because they show a scene where when they do the factory slowdown, the one girl is just doing flies. And the factory slowdown scene is really cool to me.
Because
so they literally slow down everything they're doing, including all the sound. And it's very like, I don't know. It's just when you work with things like, you know, factory labor, I think it's very accurate and I appreciate it. But they do piecework because there's definitely parts where girls are just doing hems or just doing steaming.
Not during like most of the large scale factory scenes. It's like everybody doing entire sets, and then like, oh, I have the polka dot set. Oh, I have the stripe set. And
I find it very frustrating. Like, mixed prints.
I mean, can we maybe assume that it was just since this movie is in Technicolor and they want to get as many flashy things on the screen as possible?
But I was already pissed off, and so like it just made me more angry. And so, for instance, at one point, there's a bunch of other stuff that makes me angry. So.
I think another part of it that I really enjoyed it as someone that works in the industry is there is a scene where he who will not be named of the ketchup family, they comes in the office and they're like, take your pants off so you can try on these pajama bottoms. Mm-hmm. And we do that in my office like all the time. So I thought that scene was like so accurate to like actually working in apparel where you have like a proto of something and you don't have a model on hand and you're like, throw this on. And I mean, that scene is played for laughs because the girls come in and he has no pants on. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
sure.
To me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually what it's very much like. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marielle, can you explain to me what the fuck that fair day or festival or company picnic or whatever where like
company picnic?
Heinz is throwing knives at people. Everybody is drunk. No one can dance well. It's very confusing. Yeah. And it lasts for 25 minutes.
Yeah, the company picnic scene is funny to me because you're right, it doesn't really make any sense. Mm. It's like they have a whole song about how they like do whatever they want once a year, which apparently includes cheating on their wives.
Oh yeah, that definitely comes up.
Yeah, for sure.
I did not appreciate like that part
very
at
interesting.
All. They're like singing about like, oh, so and so's kissing on so and so, but his wife's pissed off about it, and I was like,
once a year I can fuck anything that moves.
Kind of like and then yeah, so
During the purge? What does that even mean?
Yeah, it sounds like this like company picnic day is essentially the purge, except just for your dick.
Right.
It's kind of like
Hold on. TM. That's definitely the next purge movie.
The purge for your dick.
The purge dick.
So Dan Hedaya in it? Let me make nice.
He is now.
I think I can. I have like a. Is there like a tedious musical number during this sequence?
There sure is.
Yeah. Okay. No. It's a song. It's a song and dance, and they dance all around the park, and it's like the whole company.
It lasts for 20
which
minutes.
Which I like.
There is so one of the hallmarks, at least of all the Stanley Donen movies I've seen, and a lot of people I know like that. Can back me up on this. There is kind of any Stanley Donen musical, there is going to be at least one number that people say, oh my god, what an amazing movie. But I fast forward through that number. That is there's the ballad and Singing in the Rain.
Sure.
There's the like one of the three fucking ballet sequences in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yeah, fucking right.
Yeah, there's. I was saying. I just watched Always Fair Weather. Yeah. There's a sequence like that in that movie. It's a very. I think it's just like his directorial style involves. There's going to be some very lengthy musical numbers, and maybe not all of them work.
Well, this one in particular, this like company picnic one, like in a stage version of it, it like involves a lot of like movement in a very confined space because it's a stage, right? You don't have that.
Right.
And I just don't think that, and this is a problem I have with a lot of musicals, but when they translate that to film, where there is unlimited space because of the difference in media and editing, that, like, it just...
It's not as interesting.
It's not interesting because there's no constraint. It's just like, oh, hey, you can run through an entire park for 20 minutes. Well, I don't care anymore because it's not... It has no limiters, I guess. Yeah. And that's the thing that really bothered me about that scene in particular.
That's a very technical complaint.
Oh, it sure is, but I'm in a bad mood, so fuck.
That's definitely, that sounds more to do with the medium than anything.
Yeah, but it's the translation of musical to film, which I think ever terribly works super well.
Or even maybe just musicals, filmed musicals from that era definitely fall into this trap a lot. Definitely.
A lot of the ones from this time period are also very slow like this, like Oklahoma and stuff are just like...
Oh my god, can we talk really quick about the 45-minute ballet sequence in Oklahoma where there's no singing?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
In the fucking hay bales. Oh my god.
I think that was the entr'acte, actually. I remember playing that musical.
It is. You're right.
In the orchestra all the time. Well, not all the time, like for two productions, but man.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Oklahoma was like one of those movies that my mom was like, oh, well, if you like Pajama Game, you'll like this movie too. And then I was like, this movie sucks.
Oh, but.
I don't even think I finished it.
Marielle, I went to Kansas City on a Friday. Well, Sunday, guys, I learned a thing.
There's a character in Oklahoma who's supposed to be an Arab gentleman.
Oh, that's
and
true.
They call him Ali Hackam.
Oh, that's
We've
true.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the stage version that I, like one of the stage versions that I was in the orchestra for, they definitely put some shoe polish on his face.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I think we need to speed this up a little bit. Zach, what do you
want
to say?
Yeah.
Wait, can we talk about, this movie's only like, I think it's 104 minutes, including all the credits.
Yeah, okay. Hey, so
it's like
that's
quick.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I was
it's
gonna...
like it's and there's not a lot of downtime between the songs, which is what I like about it.
Yeah. I was gonna read Tiff has four final points. And then but before that,
thank you, Tiffany.
Somewhere in the middle, she actually put the songs on the side of the paper to like indicate time passing, I think. Between song two and song three, I apparently said, "Hey baby, want some fuck?" which I guess corresponded to one of the not sex things, probably. I don't know. Who knows?
I feel like you sent that to me that same night, and I
definitely did.
I didn't quite understand what was going on.
It was in the chat for sure with the Ewok and the whatnot. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Now we'll put that up on our Twitter.
Yeah. Tiff's final points. Labor rights, check, very good. Amazing dresses, check, also very good.
Yeah.
Bob Fosse, check, extremely good. And then she wrote Tight 90, which I think maybe not quite a Tight 90, but like as you were just saying, like it's pretty
close. It's
close. Yeah. So yeah, I think I remember like not hating it, and it sounds like, you know, Tiff was into it. So I'll rate eventually via TIFF. Let's say that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will say, obviously, I also love the end scene is they have a little fashion show at the club, and it's really cute.
Oh, that sounds cute. Yeah.
So I love that. I also, going back to Seth's earlier point, I don't know why Babe and Sorokin fall in love. It just goes from, like, literally, he shows up at the office, is, like, the only new guy in town in Iowa, and she's instantly...
Yeah.
In love with him, but denying it, and he admits it and sings into his dictaphone.
Yeah, and he sings a duet with himself, which is kind of, like, I kind of appreciated that.
That's really cool.
They do that in the stage, too.
Yeah.
And they do that on the Broadway version, too. Yeah. Very cute. Though you're right. There's no exposition of why they like each other. It just...
I mean, I think the explanation is, it's, like, very... It's very, like... old movie standard of here are two people at opposition, so they're gonna fall in love, obviously. Sure. I mean, not even old movie, like this fucking Shakespeare does this shit all the time.
That's true.
Like,
that still happens too, yeah.
Why do Beatrix and Benedict fall in love? I don't know, they hate each other. Yeah. Like and then they wanna fuck.
Yeah.
So,
that's every Owen Wilson movie, yeah.
Oh wow.
And I would like to give
Bottle Rocket? I don't remember that.
Yeah, him and his brother hate each other and then they fall.
And then they start to smooch.
Yeah.
And Art. James Caan masturbates in the corner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ew.
No, there is one female character in that movie, guys. Don't forget about that. She's not a prop or anything.
I don't even know what that movie is, and I
It's not great. It's probably
It's a first effort.
It's
for sure.
It's significant, but it's not good. Yes.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Oh, I do have one more point to make because again, this is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
I think Babe's dad is very underappreciated as like the weird dad.
Oh, that guy is cool.
He's great. So the dad is like old. He's a train conductor. They live next to the train tracks. And of course, he's like given Sorokin kind of like the, as opposed to the like, I'll get you with my shotgun if you hurt my daughter kind of download.
No.
It's the, I'm going to embarrass my daughter by showing you my whole stamp collection while you're sitting here waiting for her to take out on a date.
Really and cool.
The dad,
I really
appreciated
it.
The dad is great and like very funny and like very like relatable. Mm-hmm. The best part, and it, everyone always misses it, is they're sitting on the porch and while she's getting ready to go out, and the dad pulls something weird out of his pocket that's like the size of his hand, and he's like, it's a petrified bat. And he's showing off this thing he found in the train yard, and it's a fucking petrified bat, and it happens so fast, but it's so funny. And it's like, I have petrified bat written down here, and every time I look at that, I want to laugh.
Yeah.
It's just like this weird, funny scene. I don't know. The dad's cool, and I think he doesn't get enough credit.
It really sounds like this dad is from the Seth school of what being a dad is.
Yeah,
like.
For sure, for sure.
Definitely. Weird. Yeah. But endearing. Very endearing. Yeah.
Oh, capital W.
That's sweet of you to say, those, but I don't know.
With all those little chillins you have running around, apparently.
Apparently.
You'll have lots of practice. Yeah.
All right. So
do we
want to
get into ratings now?
Yeah.
Okay. So the IMDb version is a 6.8 out of 10. With only with only 2,706 votes.
I mean, there's a very big recency bias on IMDb, sure. So it's not shocking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you mean for vote totals or for?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was gonna say people fucking love the old ones. Like all the top 250 is all fucking old movies.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But yeah.
All right.
Why don't we start with Marielle? What do you rate Lee's version and this version?
I begrudgingly actually really liked Lee's version.
Yes,
definitely watch it. Like that's the only movie that I would watch and potentially buy for my like complete my Blu-ray collection of all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an 8.9.
Oof.
I
think it's because the real one gets a 9, but that's just a guess.
I think I know what the real one's going to get, and I think it's got two digits in it for sure.
I'm going to twist it, though, and I'm going to give the real one a 9.9.
Oof.
It gets docked 0.1 for, like, the sexual harassment.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just docked 0.1 for being a product of its time period.
Yeah. And, it gets a little bit of a pass because it was 57, and, like, but I'm very biased because this movie is my childhood.
Sure.
That's totally, sure. Hey.
I'm that weird kid. I was not even in musical theater, but I fucking love this movie.
Yeah. We've done that one before.
Zach, what do you got?
So original, I have to vote via Tiff. And I think Tiff would have given this, like she liked all the fashion bits a lot. And there was a lot of singing and that she's been talking about that with fucking Showman a lot recently.
Oh, she loves Greatest Showman.
Yeah. So
Tiff's gonna be so pissed when she hears this episode and hears P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. I think she would have given the OG like a 7, probably. Like not a ton.
I don't know how tough of a raider she is.
I would guess very tough. I think like
she would give Greatest Showman a 10.
Yeah.
But like I feel like most movies in general, she's like, I didn't get it. I don't care for it. No thanks.
True.
Yeah. So yeah, and then Lee's. I think so. Your low. The movie I have rated you lowest at by a landslide was your last Star Wars movie. Landslide. This one, however, was very good. All that jizz. The story's
all that jizz. Yeah.
The story's very good.
It's a Bob Fosse movie, right? You know that, right?
All that. Oh, Chicago.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no. She's the greatest Broadway choreographer of all time.
All that jazz
is also
a Bob Fosse biopic. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And I like a good Star Wars spinoff. I don't care what anybody says. So, yeah, I'm going 8.5. 8.5 on yours.
Mm. Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Seth, what do you got? Uh-oh.
I'm just over here waiting for him to break my heart.
We got that Banta exhaust coming out. Yeah,
that was some unequal header Subaru exhaust.
I do.
Jokes for no one.
My other Seth is a Miata.
Jokes for me and the bros.
Kind of sounds like a Ducati because they always have that like off, like
it's same thing
going on.
Same
thing. Total bullshit motorcycles.
They are, to be fair. They are.
Yeah, they're total bullshit motorcycles. Okay, so the original. I admit I was in a bad mood when I watched it. Uh-huh. I'll be in a bad mood.
Like whenever Seth is rating a movie and we have a guest on and they don't want to hurt the guest's feelings, he sounds like a politician apologizing
okay.
or something.
Let me say first.
I want to speak about how much I hurt my family first.
I was in a bad mood, and I will be in a bad mood for a while until I finish my bullshit.
Yeah, we're going to have a run of these, yeah.
But, and so this may be artificially low. Sure. But also I thought that just the, like, it didn't have plot and it didn't have, like, engaging characters. And I didn't I didn't like the musical numbers and I didn't like the dancing, but I liked the themes. So, this gets okay. A4.
Oh, heavens.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, welcome back to hell with Angry Seth.
Is that like a 6 if you're in a good mood?
No, that's like a 4.2 when he's in a good mood.
Yeah, if I was in a good mood. Like, that was, like, kind of to placate, but really I would be that harsh anyway.
Oh.
Our curmudgeon has reared his ugly
head. Oh, yeah, I'm back. I'm back.
It's a sine wave of Seth, I think. It's very good.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to interrupt, but I keep messing with my hair, and it just keeps looking better.
It does.
Better.
Wow.
Hey, buddy. You're welcome. No, it goes from amazing to super amazing. It's always great. You do you, man.
You got kind of like a Sean Ralphio thing going on right now.
Yeah.
So. Oh, thank you for saying that. That's really
also,
good.
Hey,
yeah.
don't ever watch it. Don't ever watch it.
No. I never do. Oh. I never do.
Oh. Do we need to talk about being out of the pocket of Big Shampoo?
No. We're going
Seth and
way
I
long.
Are out from under the thumb of Big Shampoo. Yeah. We have been for years. Yeah.
We're going that's super true. Long. All right. Go
so,
ahead,
Lee, your version, my only note is that you probably should have had Doris Day play like a Moa Nadon sort of character. And I would love to see a Peter Cushing-esque person making out with Moa Nadon, but because he's got the two mouths on either side of his face, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, the lips literally cannot touch. Yeah,
well, not both of them, or I guess both sets.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed your weird your weird Star Wars thing. So you get a 7.3.
Well, that was kind of a letdown, but okay, thank you.
7.9.
Oh, whoa!
Wow,
that didn't take much. Wow. All right, all right.
He did some good pandering, and then also kept me in check, which is something that I can appreciate.
Yeah. sure.
Like, I mean, there's no reason why there should be a Moa Nadon in the fucking movie. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And we don't need Forlom and Zuckuss, because they're terrible characters that have nothing
oh my God.
Going on.
Certainly.
Ugh.
If we don't get fucking toy money kickbacks out of this one, I don't know who, like, shit, man.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So it sounds like I did pretty good this
I think
guys.
You knocked it out of the park, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, next week. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Next week. Next week, we've got a doozy.
We got a doozy. I'm very excited for this movie, and it's a movie I actually enjoy.
It's a movie that I love, and I watched it yesterday.
I hate these. I always get these. It pisses me off. I do like.
Yeah, well, you
I
should
do
watch better
Tom,
movies more regularly.
Tom Cruise on a plane
you
with
can't
fish,
win.
And I just can never fucking win.
Lee and I are in fact buying shirts, like considering this movie. So.
Mayan's already being shipped. I might wear it when we record.
Yeah, that's
next
a good
week.
Idea.
God damn.
Seth, tell them what movie we're doing.
Oh my God.
We are doing the movie Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for Buckaroo Banzai.
Zach, we've got a little special game for you.
Sure,
a little addendum to this episode.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, we're going to make you pick your cast, because this movie is a murderer's
role.
An insane cast.
Oh, good.
Here's the rules. We have three fixed cast members that we're going to give you, and you have to use these three people.
Sure.
Then we are going to give you a list of the other notable cast members.
Okay.
Your cap is at six.
Okay.
After we give you the list, you get to pick one. Seth picks another.
Oh.
And I pick the final member of the cast.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
So I only get I get the fourth draft pick, is what you're saying.
No. You get the fourth draft pick. So use strategy wisely, boyo.
Okay.
Because
You
don't want to fuck yourself over while me and Seth have all this power.
I mean, I also, like, I don't know when this movie's from, but, like, I might not even know these people, so.
I think you know most of them. And we can give you some descriptors.
All right.
Yeah, we can do that later.
Okay.
All right, so Buckaroo Banzai, here are your three fixed cast members.
Okay.
Peter Weller.
All right.
John Lithgow.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And Ellen Barkin.
Yep. Ooh.
John Lithgow, that's the guy from Shrek, isn't it?
Third Rock and
Farquaad, right?
Lord Farquaad.
Lord Farquaad himself. Yeah.
Or Dick from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Dick Solomon.
Yes, also Third Rock.
My God. So much of my life, it turns out, has been influenced by that show.
Yeah. It's
hard to
kind
like,
of upsetting.
It was weirdly seminal from when we all grew up. Yeah.
Seth, do you want to give Zach the continued list of the Magnificent Seven other people that we're considering?
Yeah, so here are the remaining people from which you can choose. And I can send it to you in the chat, too, because...
I've never even heard of this movie, and it has, like, apparently many, many famous people.
I've heard of it, but I don't have any goddamn idea what it's about.
Okay, I'm about to read this out loud for you.
Yeah.
Wait, let me just send it. There we are. So first up, we have
fuck you so much.
So of the remaining cast,
we only get one.
Christopher Lloyd. We have Clancy Brown. We have Vincent Schiavelli. We have Dan Hedaya.
Friend of the show.
Jonathan Banks, and we have Yakov Smirnov.
Yakov Smirnov, get the fuck out of here. All right, wait, hold on. If this is the list of six, why did I get... Did you intentionally give me, like, ones that I wouldn't have picked for the first three?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because if I had to pick six, they'd all be in this list right here.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Even with Lithgow on the table?
Come on. All right, I'd probably pick Lithgow. That's fair.
Uh-huh.
Fuck! Oh,
so,
my God.
So, who is your one pick, Zach?
Okay, well, all right, I'll do a play-by-play. My eye is immediately drawn to Yakov Smirnov, obviously, but I'm definitely not going to pick him.
Snatch, definitely not going to pick him. Yeah.
Yeah, as a frequent visitor to Branson, Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah. The effective mayor of Branson, Missouri. Fuck. I mean, I like Dan Hedaya, but he's kind of a one-note. I think it's really... Obviously, between...
And that note is giant penis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
notably,
certainly.
Notably.
That's in the canon.
Get that on the hog log.
Yep. It's between the Blooms and Chris Lloyd, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Who we've had, I think, on... we've both had once with Back to the Future and The Fly, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe once for each,
Shit. Ugh. I think I gotta go Blooms. Gotta go Blooms.
Jeff Goldblum?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seth?
I'm going to make you take Clancy Brown.
Yeah, the one that I don't know. God damn it.
I don't know who that is either.
Clancy Brown is my choice. And Lee, who's our last one? What are you thinking?
So this is a torture thing? Are we being antagonistic? Is that the goal here?
I mean, you know, we might be, which is probably why I'm going to pick Vincent Schiavelli.
Okay. All right.
That Marfan syndrome suffering.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know him because he was in another movie that we did.
He was in Ghost.
That's true. He was in Ghost.
The Subway Ghost.
I thought he was, what's his transparent guy?
You thought it was Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah.
Uncle brother.
So your cast is Peter Weller, John Lithgow, Ellen Barkin, Jeff Goldblum, which was the obvious choice.
Obviously. That's why I put it up front.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who'd you pick against?
Oh, Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
No names, nobody. Old no names, nobody.
No, you will absolutely recognize Clancy Brown's voice. Like, you have
heard me.
Oh my god.
You have heard me do an impression of Clancy Brown within the last 4 days.
You fucking know who Clancy Brown is. You just don't realize it yet.
Clancy. And Vincent Schiavelli also.
Man, just the one
Clancy
lady.
Clancy Brown is a name that could only be like a Southern antebellum judge.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
The Honorable Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown. I haven't
sentenced these people to the chain gang.
Yeah, I haven't written my movie yet, but he's gonna be Colonel Sanders probably. Would be.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I would love a Colonel Sanders cameo.
Man. Okay, I like this new game.
Colonel Sanders ended up getting Papa John fired, so I guess I like him for that. So.
Papa John is fired as of this recording, which happened yesterday, so that you know how long in the future we...
This recording that should have happened in, 2015, I guess, based on Papa John's track record? Yeah.
Oof. So congratulations, Papa John's. The only thing standing in your way now is shitty pizza.
Yeah, you should hang out with that other ketchup company that sucks a bunch, because fuck all of you people.
Yeah, because your sauce tastes like ketchup on pizza.
Boosh, too much sugar.
Papa John's my former employer. But I'm over it.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. This is a wonderful game. We should keep doing this, obviously. This is very
This
good.
One was a like little it. Easier to do because there's such a crazy
It needs to be
cast.
Stacked. Yeah.
Yeah, this cast is crazy. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we need to head out for this week. And of course, always, I love you all.
Oh,
and
likewise.
Thank you so much, Marielle, for coming on the
show.
Thank
hell
you. Yeah. Fun. Yeah,
thank you
great
for
time.
Having me. And thank you for agreeing to let me take over the show with my weird favorite movie.
I honestly think we need to do this a little more often because this was a blast.
We should
need to
it's
find somebody
fun.
Who's never seen my weird favorite movie.
Oh boy.
Which is?
It's probably Marielle.
I won't reference it. Right
I'm
now.
Sure it's me. Yeah. I haven't seen that many movies. Yeah. Tell me what it is.
I can't right now.
I was gonna,
we've talked about it.
I was going to try to come up with the name for a the name of a porno movie to be the cut for the show, but I couldn't.
It's Captain Stabbing in the 7. I don't know.
Oh, no, let's not go back to that again.
From our family to yours, we got those cinematic blind spots. Thanks a lot, faking movies.
Sadness.
Bye.
Sadness.
Boy. Captain Stabbing, Jesus Christ.